Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We are finishing up our Elevate series. And it's been a really powerful month. Has anyone felt like they got a little bit elevated? I don't know about you, but March is like this, the month where I tend to deflate, not elevate, right? Because the weather is still not warm and I want it to be, or anything like that. And so this month, my prayer has just been that we would be reminded of the greater reality that's happening. And what's been amazing is even Pastor Brighton he's so heavenly conscious that he's able to impact the chaos around him with God's reality, right? And if he can do that there, we're also called to do that here. It's hard to move on from talking about Malawi, isn't it? So our verse has been Ephesians 2:6, for he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the first week, we talked about the strength of living elevated in Christ with J-O-Y, right? What are we joined to? Are we seeing things as problems or opportunities for God to move? And do we realize that joy is your choice every day, right? And then we had Darren Streblo come and release joy through comedian work, and that was just amazing. Wasn't that a fantastic weekend? I don't know about you, but I'm still... How he presented the gospel, it wasn't just his comedy, but how he presented the gospel and who he was has really made a lasting impression on me personally. The second week, we talked about what are we magnifying in our thoughts? Are we gossiping or are we amplifying God's heart with our words, right? And then the third week, Ryan Bastris spoke, this was last week, and he talked about a lot of things, so I was trying to figure out how do I summarize it? But what he really did was he talked about who we are when we are seated in God's reality through his word and his voice. He also talked about digging ditches and preparing for what God is going to do. And we've been a little bit behind in our podcast, but Pastor Brian is catching us up this afternoon. So if you've missed any of this month, this week, if you need to, you can go back on our website. I've been saying that for the last couple weeks, but Brian was finally able to catch up today. So I encourage you, don't miss out if you missed a Sunday. So today we're going to talk about maturity and growth. And if you don't know what Thrive means, everyone, when we were renaming our church Thrive, if you didn't know, we renamed it Thrive a couple years ago. And the first question I got from a leader, not from our community, was, well, is everyone just going to think Thrive? And then it's like, oh, we're all about prosperity and whatever. And I'm like, well, let's look at what Thrive actually means before we figure that out. So I look it up, and it can mean, like, you know, abundance, but it also means to mature and to grow. I thought, now that's a name I want to go to Thrive, right? I want to thrive. And so we've been working on our core values, and we're going to talk about them more over the coming weeks. But today's value that I wanted to just mention is, it's very profound at Thrive. It is, we thrive. I know that really, that took a long time to brainstorm, but we thrive. We are committed to always be growing by the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. We believe in real life, but also in a real God and real character over dead religion, right? That's thriving. Not just going through the motions, but actually letting God challenge us, prune us, grow us. And I know this month has been a real season of growth. And it's a little uncomfortable when you start growing, right? You don't realize how uncomfortable it is until you actually are like, why am I so uncomfortable? And they're like, oh, I told God I wanted to grow. Now I've actually got to change how I'm speaking to my spouse or actually deal with that attitude that keeps coming up and ruining that moment, right? I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I have. Jeremiah 17 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Doesn't that sound like what you want to be? That sounds like what I want to be. If we take maturity and define it by that description, it's someone who trusts in God, has put their confidence and hope in God, and is planted in him, and is always producing fruit. Not pushed back and forth like the waves tossed, like it talks about in Ephesians. And I don't know about you, but the world isn't intimidated by a church that is tossed by the waves or is never bearing any Holy Spirit fruit, right? That's a very not intimidating church. What the world is intimidated by is a church that is mature, that church that is perseverant, has so much fruit and life that it's contagious, right? Dryden, Ithaca, Cortland, wherever, Groton, there's so many little towns around us, is not intimidated by us if we aren't maturing and growing and perseverant. And the same could be said about your marriage. The world isn't intimidated by your marriage if it's tossed by the waves and never has any fruit of the Holy Spirit, or your business, or your goals, or whatever it is, or yourself. If you're tossed by the waves, that's not a very intimidating thing. But what the intimidation factor is when we are maturing and persevering and bearing fruit. Amen? And so I feel like I don't want to waste time just getting tossed by the waves. Who here has been tossed by the waves, right? It is not a very fun. In fact, I get very seasick just on a practical level. I discovered this on a trip, and my husband and I, for a part of our honeymoon, someone gifted us like jet ski experience, right? But we didn't have jet skis where we ended up going because he had a back injury. So we ended up doing a parasailing thing. It was so much fun. But I will tell you what, we got on that boat and I did not have fun. Up in the air, I was fine. But when I came back down to the boat, I was like, let me just get off the boat and then I will be okay, right? You get seasick, and there are a lot of seasick people in our world. That's maybe a nice way of saying just caught up in the chaos. And I have had seasick days, right? Anybody just been like, why am I feeling so swirled and seasick? It's because we're letting ourselves be tossed by the waves instead of being anchored. So that's what we're talking about today. On a slightly random note, I have a couple bamboo facts for you. So bamboo has and I don't know how to say this word. I think it's tensile strength. It just means a bending strength. Measured at 27,000 per square inch. Steel's is only 23,000. That's some strong bamboo, right? Bamboo survived the nuclear blast in World War II. And it's got some kind of chemical in it or an acid in it that makes it abnormally flame resistant as well. This is like a superhero plant. That's what this is. And then on top of it all, it can grow up to 1.5 inches per hour. I don't know if that'd be the villain or the hero in a superhero movie. It's like this growing, like unstoppable plant, right? But it's like a superhero level plant. And I love that example because I've always wondered, well, what kind of plant is the plant that's mentioned in Jeremiah 17? Now, I'm not saying it's bamboo, but if there was a plant alive right now, I feel like it would be bamboo because just like the church can withstand attacks and fires of life and has a strength in Jesus that's stronger than steel and can grow faster than anything else, that's the bride of Christ, right? So, you know, like WWJD, I was going to do, what was it? WWBD, and it was like, what would bamboo do, right? Don't put it on your car. Like, I'm not being sacrilegious, I promise. But sometimes, even Jesus spoke in parables, right? He used a lot of metaphors about farming because that's what the people would understand. And I thought, man, bamboo, it's unstoppable. And that's what we're called to be like. That's a maturing, that's a picture of what maturity looks like. So before I get too caught up in a bamboo forest with you all, we're going to get real practical. We're going to talk about three ways to mature, okay? So number one, Hang in here with me. You mature when you move your B-U-T, okay? When you move your butt. All right, I needed to spell it so no one would leave the church. You can't mature or grow up unless you move your butt. Some of us are trying to mature and there are butts in the way. Some of them are little and some are big, and do not misquote me here. Let me explain. So how about this? Have you ever said, I know God is good? Go. I know the right thing to do is this. I said I would take a break. Yeah, I really love you. That's the worst thing to hear if you love someone. They're like, I love you. And how many know the minute someone says but, nothing else matters before they said it, right? And I have caught myself in marriage. It's like you're saying something nice, and then you say but, and you're like, oh, no, everything I said, I just erased, right? And so some of us have let life circumstances put a but where there is no place having it. And let's look at a scripture here, Luke 5:18. Well, we're going to look at a couple different scriptures in Luke 5. It says, some men carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, they tried to take him inside to Jesus. They couldn't reach him because of the crowd. How many know that if that man and his friends had let that get in the way, that man's testimony might have stopped short of his healing and breakthrough and forgiveness? Right? That's a serious BUT. And how many Jesus stories in our own lives have gotten stopped short, not because of Jesus. How many know it is a finished work on the cross? But the minute we put a but right there, we build a wall between us and Jesus. Or like there's a crowd. We let the crowd get in the way, right? So let's continue here. How about how many people in our lives have we been called to witness to, and we let a but get in the way, right? I want to be a witness. They'll think I'm crazy. And how about, I want the peace of God, I'm not giving this up, right? I want Jesus, but fill in the blank, whatever it is, right? We all have our fill in the blanks. So let's continue in Luke 5. So they went up to the roof. How many know they had to get elevated to go up to the roof, and took off some of the tiles? Tell you what, if that ever happens here, it'll be a great day. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. So the Pharisees let a but prevent them from receiving forgiveness from Jesus, right? And then the sick man and his friends, they moved the BUT out of the way, and they lowered him down into the roof. So my question is, which one are you this morning? Are you a Pharisee in your mind, or are you actually getting on the roof of some of our problems? How many know sometimes you got to get on a roof? Sometimes when I've been going through stuff, I'm very physical because I used to dance. So I just start jumping up and down. If you ever see me jumping up and down up here, you'd better be like, you may think I'm having a God encounter, but really I'm just getting on a roof. I'm like, I got to get on a roof because I've got to get to Jesus. I know Jesus is here, but I got to move the BUTs out of the way because I've had a whole stack of them this week, right? They're in our marriages, they're in our friendships, they're in our dreams, our goals, our health, our finances, whatever situation is coming to mind right now. When we let a situation, when we base our theology off of a situation instead of the Bible, we create a but that can prevent us from getting to Jesus. I'm not saying it can prevent Jesus from getting to us. He's already here. But they had to lower the man through the roof, right? So my question is, what do you need to move out of the way to get to Jesus? All right? I'm not talking about striving or earning his presence. I want to make sure that you understand that. Jesus was right there. But the man and his friends had to move some stuff, climb on a roof, and lower him down. And some of us are letting our butts just get in the way, and we're just sitting back and we're like, well, it's too much work, or I might have to forgive that person, or that's too painful. Some of the BUTs, I'm not trying to be crude here, but some of them are based in some real issues, and we have to work through some real stuff Some of them are just some stupid mistakes or rather excuses. And we're like, you know what? I should probably stop making that excuse, right? Maturity says, sometimes I just got to, let's just get over that. But sometimes maturity says, you know what? I'm going to need to take a moment and process through that because I'm not just getting over it, right? So my question is, what are you letting get in the way? Because maturity says, I'm going to move it out of the way. Or if I can't, Jesus, you do that. You do that. Are you following? All right. Number two, maturity happens when we move over. Your level of surrender to Jesus and humility will determine your level of maturity. Charles Spurgeon said, "You are not mature if you have a high esteem of yourself. He who boasts in himself is but a babe in Christ, if indeed he be in Christ at all." And I did a little bit of studying in 1 Samuel 2 this week. And so we have Samuel. Does everyone know the story of Hannah and Samuel? If you don't, it's my name, so you should look it up. It's a great story. But anyway, 1 Samuel 2 tells the story, of the priest and his two sons. And the two sons were actually taking part of the sacrifice that was meant for God. And they were eating it, right? And then Samuel, instead, was actually sacrificing his entire life for God. And so Samuel sacrificed his life for God and grew up. It says he was elevated in God's presence. 1 Samuel 2 says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. But Eli's two sons took God's sacrifice and grew out." Right? That's what happens when you eat what you're not supposed to eat. And they grew out in pride. They were saying, what I'm hungry for is more important than what God is hungry for. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Have you ever been like, I know what I need to do, but I'm not going to do it? And I think sometimes we don't know what we need to do, and we're trying to figure it out. But sometimes we know, I need to say this, or I need to not say this, and then the opposite happens, right? Who here, this is a vulnerable question, but who here was ever a teenager? Okay, just checking. Then you know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't one, I don't know where you came from, but who here has had a teenager? Not everyone, right? God bless you. There are gifts in the back, right? But when you know what you need to do and you don't do it, it's a sign of pride. It's a sign of saying, God, what you're hungry for is not as important as what I'm hungry for. What you want, not as important as what I want, right? Jesus in the garden said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And we like to read that at Easter time, and we'll read that, I'm sure, at our Good Friday service and on Easter. But it's not a hashtag and it's not a bumper sticker. It's actually a foundation to live our lives on in humility, right? I was talking with my counselor recently, and I loved it. She said, "Take off your cape." I thought, excuse me? She was like, "You're not a superhero. Take off your cape. Only Jesus can do that." And some of us have been putting capes on that we have no business putting capes on. And it's actually saying, God, where you're not doing it, I'm going to do it, right? Where this is a sacrifice for you, I'm going to take it. Instead of saying, I'm going to lay my life down as a sacrifice, Eli's son said, I'm going to take the sacrifice, right? Maybe this is in one area in your life that's coming to mind. Some of us are wondering why God isn't elevating us in some areas, and it's because we need to move over. We need to take the cape off, and we need to let God be God. I know about you, but I've definitely gone that direction where I'm like, why isn't the breakthrough happening, or why aren't I feeling elevated, or you know, maybe it's a job promotion or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be in the physical. And God is saying, hey, just move over. Just move out of the way and let me be God in the situation, and I'll do something that you can't do, right? It's a good reminder. Colossians 3 says, Colossians 3, did you know that there are people here this morning that aren't wearing the right clothing? And in fact, I almost didn't wear the right clothing myself. And I'm not talking about some like dress code here, but let me read Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you're wearing a superhero savior cape for your life, for your situation, you can't put on the clothing of humility. It won't fit. And nobody's dressing you, hopefully, right? I don't know. That's it's private conversation. Hopefully you're dressing yourself, right? This is your choice. Are you going to put on? It says clothe yourself. I think oftentimes we're like, well, this happened and that happened. I don't care. Did you put clothes on this morning? Right? You put hopefully you're putting clothes on every morning, right? And just like we're called to put on our clothes, we're called to clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's not automatic. I don't know why we think it is. For 2,000 years, humans think that it should be automatic, but there's no automatic dressing here. It says to clothe yourself. And that looks like taking time with the Holy Spirit in the morning, right? Getting in the Word and making sure you need to forgive anybody you need to forgive, starting with a clean slate. His mercies are new every morning, and clothing yourself in that with humility. So the question here is, what area in your life do you need to move over? Put on your humility clothing and let God be God instead of you. I love this Charles Spurgeon quote. Think not that humility is weakness. It shall supply the marrow of strength to thy bones. Stoop and conquer. Bow thyself and become invincible. Isn't that powerful? All right, we're starting to close here. Number three. So we've talked about humility. We've talked about moving our... I didn't say it. That's so the stream can't misquote me later. Number three is we take action. Maturity looks like taking action. Have you ever been around someone who's got a lot of talk, but they aren't doing anything? And then look at yourself in the mirror, because we've all been there, right? It's always just like, yeah, that person came to mind. It's like, oh, really? Tell me more about you, right? But it's so easy to talk the talk. It's so easy, I hate to say this, but even to come to church on Sundays but not take action, or read the Bible but not take action. So maturity looks like receiving, but it also looks like taking action. 1 John says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth." Truth means reality. In other words, let us love with God's reality and then take action. That word action means employment or work, as well as action or task. You know, there are 5.9 million Americans that are unemployed right now in our country, as of right now. And I know that maybe some of us love to talk about that statistic, or maybe argue it. Please don't argue it here. But what I would rather do is talk about a statistic of unemployment that would actually affect the entire globe. And it's the unemployment rate in the church. We have a lot of unemployed sons and daughters. We're called to be employed by the Word of God, right? Where's my Bible? Here it is. We're called to be employed by the Word of God. We're called to put to work what we are reading. I hate to imagine what the unemployment rate is in the church right now across the world. And if you take one thing away, maturity looks like being employed by God. And it looks like being employed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's easier said than done, because how many know you can come to a pastor and be like, I got this issue in my life. But maybe we need to go back to the basics and say, where did I get unemployed? Where did I stop taking action in the Word of God? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's how I'm treating my spouse or my boss. Maybe it's in the physical with the workplace. It says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that for the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I'll never forget one time I was sweeping out here because we have volunteer cleaning, and sometimes you're looking at the volunteer. So if you'd like to sign up, that'd be great. But anyway, I was out here and I had a bad attitude. Man, I was like, why am I sweeping? I'm being very vulnerable right now. And or I was mopping or something. It was in the youth center. And how many know there's a lot of floor in that youth center? And no matter how hard you clean it, that it just doesn't get clean. We need to replace the floor. It does get clean if you're concerned about germs, but it just doesn't look clean. And anyway, so I'm doing it. I'm like, God, like, why am I the one that's cleaning? Who here has ever been like cleaning or doing repairing something? And you're like, why am I the one? And God was like, well, if you were actually doing it for me, wouldn't that be fine? And I was like, of course it'd be fine. And I was like, oh man, like, not only am I supposed to do it for him, I'm actually cleaning his house, like his literal house. It doesn't, like, I got so convicted. So now if you see me mopping, I'm having a God encounter with Jesus with humility, but, and maturity, right? But being employed by God doesn't mean that you're a leader in the church. It may mean that, but it means that you, wherever you go, you are employed by God. And I love this story. There's a pastor that I really respect, and he talked about raising his sons to always go above and beyond in their workplace, no matter where they're working, because you're working for God. And it doesn't mean you'll get a promotion in the physical, but we're working for God, right? And I thought that was so powerful. What is the point of elevated thinking if we're not doing something with it in our daily lives, right? Pastor Ryan was talking about that last week. What does it look like to put legs to our prayers? Yeah, that's one of my favorite thoughts, putting legs to our prayers. But if your thoughts right now had legs, where would you be going? Is that a scary thought or is that a good thought? Because if it's a scary thought, it might be time to check and to mature, because we're putting action to what we're learning and it's going to take us somewhere. And so if we're actually thinking about things that aren't godly, we're going to have action in the wrong place, right? It says, but prove yourself doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. That word deceive means misled. So in other words, if we're just hearing, again, you could come and hear, you could study, you could do anything you want. You can watch all the TED Talks, you can watch all the sermons, whatever it is. And sermons and TED Talks are different. I'm not comparing the two in that way. But what I'm trying to say is you can try and improve yourself in any way you want to, and you can hear it all day long. But you still can mislead yourself if you're not actually doing what the Word of God says to do. It doesn't talk about, earning a place with God. That's not what I'm saying through action. We have security in his love. But maturity says, I am loved by God, so now I'm actually going to love. Now I'm actually going to take action, right? Whether you take action or not is one of the biggest leadership factors for maturity. So if you believe Jesus forgives, forgive. If you believe there's an eternity, maybe it's time to witness. And I'm not saying you have to be some televangelist or something, but find out how God made you to be a witness. If you believe that God builds his church, serve and say, God, these are my giftings. I want to help build the church. I want to help reach the lost. So why don't you stand on your feet as I close out here? God is a God of action. Aren't you glad that God didn't just sit up there in heaven and be like, wow, look at all these people that are suffering. I should brainstorm an idea and then make sure it's theologically accurate. And then maybe I'll ponder it some more. Aren't you glad that he didn't do that? But he thought and he took action. And of course, it was perfectly theologically sound because that's who God is, right? But he didn't get stuck in his mind. The difference between the Pharisees and the disciples were the Pharisees got stuck in their brain and the disciples received and took action, right? I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to get to the end of my life and be like, wow, I know so much, but I never took action. God is a God of action. And we are a church of action. We are a church that doesn't get stuck behind the BUTs. We are a church that's okay to go to the least of these and to serve in humility in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in whatever season of life you are in. Luke 8 tells the story of the seed that fell on the footpath and the devil stole it. And then the rocky soil and they didn't put roots, so it fell away in temptation. And then the thorns, which hurt it, but got overcrowded. And then the good soil that heard the truth and clung to it and produced a harvest. That's an intimidation factor right there. We are in this area to produce a massive harvest. So Jesus, we just thank you that you are calling us as a church to thrive, to grow and mature. And God, whether we've been walking with you for 50 years or 70 years or 1 year or 1 month, or whether we're thinking about getting saved today, this is for everybody, because God, there is always a deeper level of humility. There is always a but to move. There is always a place to take action in our lives. So, Father, we just repent. We just turn from any place we have become complacent in. And we say, God, take action in our lives. We say yes to you. I just bless you to surrender any area of pride, any area where you have been getting your identity apart from Christ. I bless your feet to follow the truth and to take action. I bless you to move any excuses, any pain, anything that has been preventing you from reaching Jesus, because Jesus is right there saying, look, that cross means nothing can prevent you. So you got to open your eyes and see it now, because I'm right here. I'm right here, Jesus is saying. And I bless you to see a harvest of lost souls that we have been praying for that are going to come and fill this community as we continue to say yes to God, yes to growing, yes to maturing in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.